evidences that something invisible is there in me and around me. I've had, Lord, bless what we're about to teach and share. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Is there like an aura? Are you talking about auras?
Well, you know what? Aura is not really a biblical word. That's probably a word you might hear like a witch using or a New Age people. And I've had people say that to me, by the way.
Yeah.
You have an aura about you. It's like kind of helps me locate that they haven't read the Bible much. But it's really this presence of the Holy Spirit.
It's the kind of glory.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The glory of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so, who has a Bible? I want you to see Numbers 14. Let's go to Numbers 14. We're going right back early to the beginning. And you see, what I submit to you is you saw that glory in that room, in that church building. Now, don't think you have to see that to believe in it. Believe it because I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. If you have to see to believe, you'll never see. If you believe, you'll one day see. Isn't that simple? Numbers 14. Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." You get what he said? Blessed are they? Blessed are they? God wants to bless those who believe what they can't see. And that's a principle of God. So, I would rather teach you faith and never show you anything visible. In fact, someone said, "Why don't we see more angels?" Well, they're instructed to not appear to people. Because people make religions out of angels. If you go to people's houses, they got angels everywhere. Little ceramic angels, you know, and it's like, well, that little ceramic angel's going to protect me. Well, yeah, is that what the home invasion guy said a week ago? I mean, it's belief in God's word that is going to protect you. You know, that's what causes things to be created and manifest. Numbers 14, verse... He's talking to Moses here, and it says, verse 20, it says, "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Now, think about that statement. He says, as truly as I live. God is like giving a solemn vow. He's giving an oath. He's saying, as truly as I live. In other words, if I'm alive, then this is going to happen and I'm going to bring it to pass. Do any of you believe the earth has been ever full of the glory of the Lord yet? He said the earth is going to be filled with His glory. And we are waiting for the manifestation of that promise still. And the more believers that come on the earth... See, every day that someone receives Christ, Satan's kingdom is reduced by one. And Satan hates that because he just lost somebody. They got converted to Christ. And God's kingdom is increased by one. So the glory has grown by that much on the earth every time one person is saved. But there's two ways the glory grows. One is by more people, more territory being taken, because now you go home and your house is going to have the glory of God, see? But the other way that the glory increases is the faith in the glory. The understanding of God's glory in your life is the other way to increase God's glory. You see? In other words, if I'd rather be a guy that knows about the glory and believes for it than a guy that doesn't, because it's going to make things manifest in my life from God 10, 20, 100 times more for me. You see, blessings. I have a teaching. I was telling you about it last night. The top 10 reasons why you don't have to have a cold or flu this season. Mm-hmm. I have it online, on the internet. And I never get it. I never get cold or flu. And I stopped getting those about Well, I stopped getting those in 1982. And I believe that it's the power of the Spirit and the glory, okay? And I used to get an awful cold, maybe two a year. Put me in bed for 3 weeks. And it's like that was all over when I started believing in God's power. And that glory manifested in my life. And but he's saying he's gonna bring the glory out in his people in the last days massively, and it's going to be demonstrated and shown like you saw in that video right there. And he says that it's going to fill the whole earth. His glory is going to fill the whole earth. And you know, there's Paul says there's a couple types of glory. You have terrestrial glory, which is earthly glory. Remember E.T., the extraterrestrial, terrestrial. And then you have celestial glory, which is the glory of God from heaven. Celestial glory. So you have two kinds of glory. My teaching here tonight is on celestial glory that's abiding in God's people on the earth. And you have it too. And I submit to you that that glory of God in you makes you way too good to drink, use drugs, have addictions, be an alcoholic, sin, be angry. It just makes you way too good for all that. And so, but it comes to you and it manifests to you through a divine revelation. And you can get a revelation from teaching. And so, because there's three things that happens to us when we get a revelation. First, we get a revelation and it goes, oh, I see it now. I understand it. As you embrace it, what you're taught and what you see, it transforms you. So first a revelation comes to you, then it transforms you, and then thirdly something happens. Whatever was the promise of that revelation manifests in your life. Three things: revelation, transformation, manifestation. You get the revelation, it brings you a transformation. It brings about a manifestation in your life. You see? That's exactly what happened when you received Christ. You got a revelation that you were a sinner, you needed Him, and that He died for you. So you got a revelation. In your heart, you were transformed. And in your whole body and soul and everything about you was changed in an instant, and it all manifested to you. And you became one of the kingdom of light instead of one of the kingdom of darkness. What I just told you, that three-part process happened to you when you received Christ. So don't say you're not familiar with it or it's never happened to you. Well, the rest of your blessings from God, the whole rest of your life, all operate the same way. You get a revelation, it causes a transformation in your thinking. Like, example, let's say someone's got a poverty mindset. It's like, I can't catch a break. I can't get money. My neighbors are repelled by me. That isn't right. That isn't God's kingdom. Look at His people, the Jews. They attract money. They're taught from little kids. It's Christians that have some kind of other mindset about it, you know? Like, you got to have a vow of poverty to serve God. No. God's whole nature is abundance. He has a nature of abundance, you see. But you got to get a revelation that you are His child. That you've been given, you know, your Father in heaven owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He owns all the silver and gold in the earth. Okay? Did you ever hear about the guy that took a cruise ride and he saved all he could for the ticket? And he said, man, I can't afford the meals. So he just bought his ticket. You know what he did? He took some crackers in his suitcase and a little bit of cheese and some water like this. And he stayed in his cabin for 2 weeks. And he ate just his crackers and cheese. And he, on his way out, and he's very hungry. He lost weight on the cruise. And on the way out, the captain says, hey, I never saw you in the dining hall. And he goes, oh man, I couldn't afford the food you had in there. And the captain says, oh wow. He says, I'm sorry someone didn't tell you. All that food is in the price of your ticket. And you could have sat at my table with me. I would let you dine at the captain's table. We had a movie star there one night. You could have sat with him. It's like you could have had that big buffet. They had steak and lobster. They had all this caviar. It was really loaded in here. What were you eating? And, okay, you know what? This is how many Christians are. I'm just a worm. I'm just going to get my little government subsidy, GA or whatever I get. And that's all I'm worth, you know? And it's like, that's nonsense. God meets your needs, and God is a blesser, okay? And it's like, if you feel that's all you're ever going to have, that's all you're ever going to have. But I'm telling you, God is a God of abundance. And He blesses His people. And He gives ideas. He gives ingenious ideas to people. It says in Proverbs 8, I, wisdom, give all knowledge of witty and strategic inventions. You know, an invention might just be a better way to do something on your job that so impresses the boss that he says, you can have $500 a month raise because you're making my company a lot of money. You see what I mean? The Christian is supposed to... Remember Joseph? He started in Potiphar's house. She tried to tempt him to sin. He ran off. She grabbed his cloak. Potiphar threw him in prison for that, like trying to rape his wife, which he didn't do. And so then he works his way up in the prison, interpreting dreams for people. Pharaoh hears about that. Pharaoh takes him to his palace. He hits a big score on interpreting a dream for Pharaoh, and who's so impressed, he makes him second in command in the whole country. He's wealthy for the rest of his life. That whole story is in the Bible to show you that you're supposed to have a Joseph anointing if you know the Lord. If you love God, you're supposed to be able to walk with ideas, dreams, answers, solutions, you know?
Favor.
Favor, the good word. And that is what God gives. He gives His favor. And so so there's blessings. But you know what? There's no way out of that poverty mentality except for God. God says, my son, I want to bless you much more. I want you to go sit at the captain's table. It's like you've been going along on, just the leavings of others. You've been going along on government handouts. It's like, I want to give you, you know. And I see people go, well, if I can just get disability, it's like, then I'll be all set for life. It's like, I have trouble. Okay, if you really have a disability, I understand, and I have compassion. But I have trouble with people that are dreaming of $800 a month for the rest of their life. Okay? Okay? Hey, see, I step on toes, right? But we'll pray for your toes later. But sometimes people need to hear this, that $5,000 a month is not enough money for you.
No.
You want a nice home? You want a nice car? And if you set your heart and say, I can make $5,000 a month, I know God, you will. But if you say, I dream of that $800 a month, where, and you know what? That $800 a month says you have to live in a place like this. Okay, really? And it's like, so you're the guy in his cabin eating the crackers. Okay, but watch. An explosive revelation. God wants to bless me. Jesus bore poverty on the cross. It says, though he was rich, he became poor that you might become rich. And what it means is God has got a nature of abundance.
Hallelujah.
Jesus says, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. You see, that's Jesus' word in John 10. And He came to give you abundant life. And so it seems like right now the only ones taking abundant life is the Jews who never accepted Jesus. And listen, you go through the phone book, you look at how many lawyers and doctors and optometrists, all the professional people have Jewish names. What's up with that? You go to Hollywood. Hey, just watch your movies. You watch movies. Some of you guys love movies, right? Watch the credits at the end. Everybody involved in making those movies are Jews. Steven Spielberg, and he has two partners, Jeffrey Katzenberg, David Geffen. These are all Jews, okay? And it's like they're still believing the Old Testament. And they're living in it, and they're walking in it, and their parents raise them up in it and teach it to them. And you know what? Somehow this devilish doctrine got into the church in the Middle Ages, and it was a vow of poverty that I can only serve God if I give away all my goods and I take a whip and I flog my back. And it's like, hey, didn't Jesus take enough flogging for us? Didn't he? It's like, isn't forgiveness and deliverance from our sin free? Did anyone have to give 50 push-ups to get their salvation? God didn't put you through that. And everything you get from God is free. Well, you know, there's a glory in catching a revelation of His abundance. You know what? The devil tries to kill us with disease. And God doesn't want us to have disease. And there's a glory in catching a revelation saying, He purchased healing for me. You know, it says, by His stripes we were healed. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases. Okay? And He says, if any of you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over for him the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and God will raise up the sick. And it's like, okay, if you don't believe that, then you're going to have to tear all that out of your Bible. And it's like, you're going to have to tear page after page. You have to tear about 800 pages out of a 1,500 page Bible. Okay? Even science is doing study and starting to realize that prayer is getting people well. But you know what? In that study, I bet they didn't tap in the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. See? So it's like, yeah, prayer's good, but let's take the whole... You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, and He's got a benefits package. And when we first started, I was talking about the benefits package. And in the corporation, you're not going to go, hey, Mr. Manager, I'll work your job, but I don't want your benefits. Well, that's what you're doing to God if you're not walking in abundance and healing and deliverance from addictions, okay? And then you're also just riding, you know, eating your crackers in your cabin. And so, you know, let's go more on the glory. Exodus 24. Now, I want you to get this in your head. God says, as I live, my glory will fill the whole earth. It'll be people stepping up and taking all the benefits God has for them. And then people are going to see that and they're going to want what you have. There's going to be unsaved people that are going to want what you have. Okay? They want what you have. You don't have to preach to them. You just have to show them what God has done for you. You see that? That's really how you win the loss. All your relatives, instead of despising you, are going to look up to you and say, I want what you have. You've got Christ. And it's like, and if you know, a wise man or woman is going to give all the glory to Christ. So as truly as God lives, all the earth, I believe this is going to be in our lifetime.
What verse are we going to number 14?
14:20-21.
Right.
As truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with glory of the Lord. And He makes that promise to Moses. And sending Jesus to the earth was the first step. Actually, giving the law to Moses was the first step. And there was a glory in that law. And there was a glory in giving that law that caused Moses' face to shine so that they had to put a veil over him when he read the law. And everybody says, hey, sunglasses aren't invented yet, Moses, so please put a veil over your face. And so that's what they did. And it says, how shall not this second house be more glorious, the one that Jesus is Lord over, where Moses was over the first house, the old covenant. Jesus is over the new covenant, and He's Lord of all. And he's the God of heaven, earth, and hell. Jesus is in charge of everything. Yeah, and he's second only to his Father. And he's going to put the whole package together for his Father, redeem as many men and women as he can. He's going to hand it all back to his Father and say, now you be God, you be all in all, and I'll be your son, and we'll live all the eternity as a family. So, Exodus 24.
My eyes hit when we were talking and I was just reading was 14:17, and it just said this: now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared.
Amen. I wish I could stay there in Numbers. There's a whole story, backstory there in Numbers 14. Exodus 24. Okay, if you've been in any of my teachings the past several weeks, you will probably know that I believe the earth is only going to be here 7,000 years. And we are just about at the 7,000th year, any year, or a month. I don't know. Nobody knows the exact day we're in. But I believe there are many, many signs in the Bible that point to this. And you might say, well, no, the earth is, I heard on Discovery Channel, the earth is 800 billion years old. But you also heard on Discovery Channel that you came from a monkey. And that we were once amoebas that crawled out of the ocean or something like that, you know. And it's like, so watch where you get your information. They don't really know anything. They can't even agree on anything, those scientists, you know. You ever remember the compulsive liar on Saturday Night Live? And every time his lie changed, he says, yeah, that's the ticket. He says, it's this. Yeah, that's the ticket. And that's kind of the way evolution and scientists sound to me. Because, you know, when I was young in Christ, they used to say the earth was about, 5 million years old. And then they start getting into the billions. And then now they're saying it's 800 billion. And it's like, they're going to just keep growing that number. And it's like, because they have no hard science, because it's all theory. And you know what? The earth ages itself in catastrophes, of which we had the flood. And the earth aged, the earth seemed to age, it seemed to age several billion years in the flood, which was only a short season of time. And it's all fits in 7,000 years. And if you really trust those scientists, they can't even tell you what a person looked like 200 years ago. They can't even tell you what a person sounded like 200 years ago. They're totally reliant on drawings. They are so clueless. They are the vanity of science. Now, I love science because when those scientists start talking, I see creation. But I filter out their lies and I take in their good information. Okay, Exodus 24. So I had to tell you that the earth is, I believe, 7,000 years. And God made the earth in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. And then he told us that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. And he told us that in Peter, the book of Peter. And if you go read the chapter there of the book of Peter, okay, if you go read it, if the context of Peter is the last days, it's the end times, and how God's going to judge everything by fire. And that's the context. And why would he tell us a day's as 1,000 years in that context of the last days, unless he's saying, if you're smart, you'll get my key, and you'll figure out how much time you guys have. And that's exactly what he did. So then it says, then Moses went into the mountain. Verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 15. It says, then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. So God's just hanging up there. Moses isn't with him yet. All right? He's just hanging up there, and Moses is watching the cloud, and all the children of Israel watching the cloud. And the glory, you can just see it, just hanging up there, just like you just saw on my machine here. And it says, Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Moses, I'm up here in this cloud. It says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain and in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. What day did Moses go up into the cloud?
The seventh day.
At the end of the sixth, at the beginning of the seventh, right? God is getting ready to do something we see from Numbers on this earth. The glory of the Lord will fill this whole earth. No. I don't even know if we're there yet. But it's so close. It's we need to be very, very, very sober-minded because it is so close, if it hasn't started yet. What I'm trying to tell you is God's got His glory already. Like that day, on that end of that sixth day. And He says, now it's time for you to come in. Moses is a type of Jesus. We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
Moses is a type of us. We're here instead, Jesus' stead. We're the ambassadors. We now deal with God.
Amen.
You see what I mean? In the name of His Son, Jesus. Jesus lives in us, and God's saying, okay, all of you, I've got the glory already. It's the manifested glory. It's the glory that will cause you to walk in great miracles and victory and overcome sin. And I'm calling you to come up now. See, I'm speaking to you prophetically like a prophet right now. It's time now to come up. Yeah, now's the time to come up into my glory. I'm calling you up now. And I'm telling you that this scripture here with that key, a day's as a thousand years, is pointing to right now in history. This is the time of history. Right now. If it was 100 years ago, I couldn't be saying this to you.
Yeah.
Are you getting me?
I'm getting you. I think you're saying we're near the end, somewhere. We're really
do you realize that every person in there, in this building, should be sitting here listening to what I'm saying? Because if you don't take this to heart, then you'll go another way. It'll be quite a dark way. But you don't have to. You can eat at the captain's table, and you can have manifested blessings, and you can have the glory. Now, it is almost time, but I want you to see just a few things. The glory, I guess I got to come back next week and finish this, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. There's one scripture that says Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is our hope of glory because He lives in us. He brought His glory with Him when He came to live in your heart. It's invisible. Okay? I'll take you somewhere right now. Isaiah 4. And you got to see this one. This is a whole key to everything here. Does everybody... Okay, find Isaiah. Isaiah 4. Does everybody remember when the children of Israel and Moses traveled around the wilderness? Does everybody remember... You must have saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Does everybody remember there's a pillar of fire by day, there's a cloud of smoke by day, and there's a pillar of fire at night? Everybody remember that? I wrote a joke on Facebook, and I said, this is what I said. I said, I asked God why those chariot drivers of Pharaoh were so stupid to enter that Red Sea that was parted and follow those guys. And this is what I had God say in my joke. Because they finally found a way around that pillar of fire. That's, do you get it? That's stupid. I'll show you how stupid they were. The Bible says that when they got into the sandy bottom,
they got stuck.
Yeah, they got stuck. It says the angels came and pulled the wheels off their chariots. And then it says, and then they drove them very heavily. They have no wheels. I'm going to beat this horse because I'm going to make this chariot go. Even though my wheels just fell off. And there was, I fought myself to get around a pillar of fire. And I see these huge walls of water about to come down. I can do it. I took a Tony Robbins class. I can do it. You know? Not to put down Tony Robbins. But I'm telling you, natural motivation is nothing compared to the glory of God. Natural positive thinkers, that's nothing. It's like, when I have a Bible, I have anointed teachers to listen to that have the Holy Spirit, I don't need any of those earthly motivators. Okay? That's going to tell me, you know, the man that thinks he can, the man that thinks he can't, both are right. You know, that's all cool. But God in me can do anything. I'd rather live on this plane than on this earthly plane. I'd rather live on this healthy plane, heavenly plane, than this earthly plane. You see? Have you ever been in a Bible study like this? You know what? What I'm teaching you tonight is bits and pieces of a whole weekend seminar. You know what, you really need to be in the seminar because there's stuff we got to skip over. I'll keep you posted. Isaiah 4.
For what?
Yeah. You're going to tell us the verse.
Yeah, you said it for what?
I'm not going to have you read ahead until I'm ready to be there. verse 5, and I'm going to read it. It says, "Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat and a place of refuge for a shelter from the storm and rain." This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is hundreds of years after Moses in the wilderness. Okay? Those people are all dead and gone. Alright? The glory cloud is gone from the wilderness, right? The smoke by night is gone. Okay? Does anyone know what Mount Zion is?
The holy mountain.
Isn't the church Mount Zion? Aren't the believers in Christ Mount Zion? We are Mount Zion. Alright? You know what God did? You know what God's dreaming here. God is saying, when I create these people that are going to receive me to live inside of them, they're going to be called Mount Zion. And in Mount Zion, I'm going to take that pillar of fire and that cloud of smoke, and I'm just going to stick it inside them invisible, and they're going to walk around with it inside of them. And really, only the devil and demons and angels are going to be able to see it. Their fellow man will not see what they have.
Amen, I believe that.
But you know what? I've walked up to people as a very loving man. Now, I know I'm a big guy, okay? But I've walked up to people as a very loving man. And they're afraid of me. They're deathly afraid of me. You know? And I go, you know, I start talking to them and they're like stuttering. And I'm going, Lord, that glory, okay. Do you know what this word... A guy interpreted this word by looking in a Hebrew dictionary. And guess what this word here that God put inside of us, a cloud of smoke by day. The word is called ashen in Hebrew. Guess what ashen means?
Asher?
No. This is what it means. The terror of Yahweh. God put inside of me when I received Christ the terror of Yahweh. And when I believe for it, and I say, thank you for your glory, and I release the glory to flow out of me, guess what? It causes demons to manifest. It makes them afraid. They lose their minds when you get near. They won't come near you. They are terrified of you. So if a guy comes up to me, and he's full of demons, and I'm I look like God to him. I've got the terror of Yahweh coming off me. Thomas, that's my aura. It's the terror of Yahweh. Okay? And he's going, oops, need some new pants, you know. And it's like, I'm just saying that that's, I don't want you to look at me like a spiritual Superman, although I'm the guy that's being sent here to share this with you. I want you to all look at you. You have the terror of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
You know what? I used to walk through, when I was walking in here last summer and there's like 50 people out there, I used to walk in here and I used to go, I put my key in that gate and I go, I release, and just for fun. See, I like to have fun. I go, I release the glory as I walk through here. I release the glory. And then I'd hear, no, I'd hear demons speak like out of people. It didn't make any sense. It's like, you know, when a guy starts talking senseless and he's not even drunk, it's like they might have a demon, you know? They probably have a demon. And it's like it's like you can see cool things when you're walking and you know, see, it's when you know you have it that faith starts getting released out of you for it. You see? And you know what? You can have demons that will not come across a perimeter. The last 2 weeks we talked about a perimeter here. You can have demons that won't cross a perimeter and they will stay 200 yards out from you. Okay? Now, that might go in a human and a human might bring them a little closer to you. Might get real close to you. Might get too close to you. And all of a sudden, that human falls out and starts convulsing on the ground. I've seen that. I've had that happen to me. You see, I'm going to take you one more place. We're in Isaiah. Next week I'll tell you what the pillar of fire Hebrew word means. You'll love that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, but he Isaiah 54.
54?
54. Isaiah 54.
It's funny you talk about it because God gave me a revelation. I was asking something and the Lord showed me that we all want to see these signs and wonders. And we say that if we see the signs and wonders, we'll believe. But the truth is, man, those people lived in the day where the Shekinah glory rested on the ark and it was a big old tent. And then God ripped the veil. And now that same glory that rests on the ark is in us. And that's what he's basically saying.
Yes.
The glory of God is in us. They killed priests when they had bells on them and ropes and got pulled out the tent. It's actually in us. It's slain and led nations. It kept the suns moving. Man, it's crazy.
You know what? In some karate schools and these Asian karate masters, they will teach their students to view where a target is and then say, let's kick past that target about 4 feet. That way, when you hit the target, since you're going past it, you're going to be much more powerful. You got much more power because you're putting your perception out there to go through the target and decimate the target. Okay? Now, I brought that up for this reason. Some of you guys are just going, and gals are going, I hope I don't drink. I hope I don't use drugs. And I'm saying, well, that's just where your target is. Let's kick past the target. Let's go for the glory of God. Let's go for the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Let's be on fire for Jesus Christ. And I had a guy say to me in here once, he came up to me and he said, I don't want to look like a fool for Jesus. He says, I understand Jesus and I love Jesus and I've received him, but the way you talk, Greg, I don't want to look like a fool for Jesus. And I'm thinking, well, you don't mind looking like a fool when you get high.
Yeah.
And it's like, so let's just go with a high on Jesus without the side effects. And let's, you know, no organ damage, no DUIs. Jesus won't treat you like that. But I'm telling you, I get high. And see, if I'm teaching like this and I stand up, I kind of rock. Like I start rocking in my shoes like I want to fall over. I'm telling you, I got a LUI, living under the influence. And, you know, it's like God wants to make us, you know, God says, we're going to pour out the Spirit on them, Jesus. The Father goes, we're going to pour out the Spirit on them after you get back to heaven. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll make them all drunk. It's like, well, why are we going to make them all drunk, Father? Well, because they're going to come after them with torches. They're going to try to burn them all. It's like, they're going to throw them in prison. They're going to give them lashes. If we make them all drunk, they won't feel it. They'll be happy. let's look at Isaiah 54. Remember I said a demon won't come because of the glory in you. Hey, use this word this week. Say it over and over all week. I have the terror of Yahweh in me.
I have the terror of Yahweh in me.
That's Yahweh is a Hebrew name for God. Okay.
You didn't give the verse, and I went straight to 4. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame.
Amen.
You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated.
You will forget the shame of your youth.
Amen.
I'm telling you, most guys and gals. Listen to this. Most guys and gals are drinking because of the shame of their youth. Did you know that? Did you know that some of our parents shamed us into being shameful beings? They didn't know better. I'm not speaking bad of your papa. I'm telling you, that's how they were raised. And or maybe they left you, you know. Maybe a father got killed, or he went to prison, and it's like that imparted shame in your life. And what I'm trying to say is that it gets handed down from father to son to father to daughter, and it keeps going handed down. And I'm saying God, this glory of God is to make you forget the shame of your youth. It says it right there in verse 4. Nope, but you just took the direction of the meaning here differently. No, for you will forget the shame of your youth. And I'm just telling you that shame, you know what? I asked a man once, I said, do you have a wife and children? He says, yeah, back in the Great Lakes area, I have a wife and children. This guy is like one of our worst drunks. Okay? I mean, he gets out that gate, he goes right for a store, he gets 40 ounces, a couple. And he just starts going, he can't even wait to pop the top before he gets out the door of the store. And he's going, as soon as he's standing there in front of the door, he's guzzling. And then he can barely make it to a place out of the way to fall down and pass out. And you know what? Okay, that's graphic. I'm sorry to tell you that, but you know what? He wants to pass out. You know why? Because he can't forget his shame and his pain. He's so painful. And so one day I had him at a sober moment. And you may think this is just one secluded incident, but there's tons of people in here like that. And I said to him, don't you have a wife and children? He goes, yeah, I haven't seen them in 12 years.
Wow.
And I said, where are they? He says, they're back in the Great Lakes area. I said, why are you not back there? He says, I left them. I said, why did you leave them? He says, because, and then he looks off in the distance. I can look at his eyes. I can remember his eyes to this day. And he says, because I loved alcohol more than I loved them. And he said that to me in such a self-humiliated tone. And I said, and it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this man has double shame. He was shamed as a child. And when he was a teenager, he started drinking. And now he has shamed himself. And now he walks in double shame. As God's saying, but I can take that off of him. I can remove that from him. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's get to this verse and then we'll close and we'll get out of here. Okay. No, you caused some good information to come out. Okay, verse 14. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, you had to not commit sin to be righteous. Remember that? You had to keep those commandments, right? Okay. God says in the New Testament that I reckon faith unto people as righteousness. If you'll just believe, you don't have to keep all my laws. I will consider you righteous if you believe. Yes, he wants us to keep all his laws out of love for him. But he's saying, I'm not going to measure you keeping the laws. Because every law I have is summed up in these two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Okay, so we just read that in righteousness we would be established. But you can insert a new word there in Isaiah 54:14. In faith, you will be established. If you believe the things I'm saying to you tonight, you will be established and you will be far from oppression. I had a very dark time in my life where I had a betrayal in a marriage. I wanted to kill another person. And I had some heavy unforgiveness. And God was dealing with me. And every time I would get in my flesh of my own thoughts, I could see a wall. It was 200 feet away. And when I was with God, and I was believing God, and I was believing that I was His Son, and I was in faith, I could see the wall out there 200 feet away, and it would not come near me. In faith, you'll be established, you'll be far from oppression. And it will be far from you. Get this. When I would get in the flesh, I'd quit believing God. I wouldn't pray. I'd do things that were adverse to my spiritual nature. I could look out there at that wall, and it was heading this way. And in that wall was revenge, hate, murder, sinfulness. And that was the oppression the devil wanted to come get me with. And now, that's gone. Okay? It's all gone. I've forgiven. I walk in love. I'm a changed man. But I'm telling you that there's always something out there after you. But God says, I'll keep that far from you if you just believe in me and believe in my word, believe in my promises. I'll keep that off far from you. And the glory that's in you will cause it to stay away. And it's the terror of Yahweh that the evil beings, other people, cannot comprehend and understand why you terrify them. You see? But you'll know, you'll walk in it because you have that. You're Mount Zion. You have that pillar of fire in you. You have that smoke by day in you. And you have my glory in you. And it's Christ who's in us that is the hope of our glory. Anyway, praise God. Let's pray for a moment. I'd like you all to repeat after me. And by the way, if you've received Jesus, just repeat this anyway. It won't hurt you to repeat it again. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we receive your glory.
We receive your glory.
Some of us receive your salvation. We receive the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of the cross. And we receive eternity. And we receive your love. And we believe in you. And we denounce sin. We denounce substance abuse. We denounce anger. We denounce the devil. We walk in the glory. We have your terror of Yahweh. Evil flees in our presence. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.